the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is very easy to escape the weight and force of Jesus' parable of the tenants. You have not withheld, I presume, fruit from the owner, fruit rightfully due to him. You have not tried to usurp the owner's role or denied him his prerogatives. You have not harassed, intimidated, or beaten up his messengers. You certainly haven't killed his own son, the heir of his estate, in order to acquire the property. Since you don't come into contact with vineyards often, except perhaps the products they produce, it is hard to imagine our service in God's kingdom as work in a vineyard. But before you weasel out so easily of hearing this parable, remember the disciple from the primary gospel for this week. The failure to listen and to heed the master's words leads to identification with the one who has never listened to anything God, his creator, has said. Get behind me, Satan. This rebuke certainly admonishes you to listen. Even more so, the song invites you to listen. Song, you say? There is a popular song playing on the airwaves of Yahweh, a song written by that persistent poet, Isaiah, the Song of the Vineyard. To paraphrase Carly Simon, who can resist a song that they think is about them? The vineyard is lovingly tended, dug on the most fertile of hills, cleared of growth-thwarting stones, planted with the choicest vines. This is a vineyard whose wine will make Professors Kloa and Veltz giddy with excitement. But the vintage did not live up to expectations. It's not only a bad year, but it's a horrible stretch of unproductive years. These choice vines only produce sour and bitter wine. The song must not be about you, after all. But Isaiah's still singing Carly's tune. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry. The seminary may not look much like a vineyard, but there can be no question that you are tending vines, the vines of pastoral formation and diaconal service, the vines of congregations longing for a pastor to feed them with the word, the vines that are students rightly planted in the word of God, the vines of words well crafted and written to speak to those outside the vineyard, the vines of the development and upkeep of the vineyard. But imagine a seminary vineyard, where there is an outcry. Imagine a seminary vineyard that yields only wild grapes. The song goes like this. A professor prepares last minute for class, wasting the opportunity to clearly inculcate the confession of the faith. A professor is perpetually late with returning papers to students. A student only half-heartedly commits himself to the class with that professor that he swore he would never take. A student invests himself 100% in his coursework, but never engages in conversation with his wife. A staff member looks at the tedium of her work, avoids the responsibilities, and wishes it would all simply go away. A student vows never to go to chapel as long as they never sing music that he actually wants to sing. A professor avoids conversation with students over coffee because his work is too important and too demanding. An administrator forges ahead with plans that seem good to him without consulting with the faculty and students most directly impacted by those plans. Professors, students, and staff fail to pray regularly for one another. They consider one another adversaries instead of plants to be tended. They fail to see that they are one vineyard, planted together and fed by the same common vine, the pleasant planting of God. Instead, the grapes this vineyard produces are grapes of wrath. And what will the owner of the vineyard do? Naturally, he will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. If my description of a seminary whose produce is wild has left you with a bitter taste, please don't do as the chief priests and scribes did and leave this chapel and go away. What will the owner of this seminary do? Make no mistake about it, he will uproot the vines and tear down the vineyard. The ashes on your forehead were the evidence of that destruction of the Lord. He will come and give the vineyard to others who don't look and taste like the bitter grapes that I have described. What will the owner of this seminary do? Have you not read the scripture? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. One might expect the vineyard owner to demolish the tenants and be done with it. But not this owner. He takes the rubble from the old hedges, the dead vines trampled on the ground, and seeks to plant a new vineyard from what was trampled down and destroyed. And the heart of the vineyard, the choicest vine, the cornerstone of the hedge, is the very vine that the tenants killed and destroyed. The stone which they had flung on the garbage heap. It is the one sent from God to bring life and light to the vineyard, the one who was crucified, cast out, and died, who died in the failure to listen to the Spirit speaking of the word in the voices of the fellow baptized, who died in the failure to confess the faith in class, in writing, in devotion to one's responsibilities, who died in absence from the communities tending to its life in worship, who died in voices silent in prayer for one another. This rejected vine is the new life of the vineyard. The pleasant planting of the Lord is the vine that grows from a stinking, dark, lifeless tomb where nothing could be expected to live, much less grow. A new vine has sprouted from the opening of that tomb, and with it a new vintage. A new vine has sprouted forth that leads to the drink of the wine that flows from it. For it is the blood of the one whom you have rejected, but who is the bread of your life and your true drink. Come to the feast in this your tomb of death, where the blood of the living vine is poured out for you. By drinking of this cup, his cup, the Lord has invited into his vineyard a tenant, once cut off from the vine, but alive with the new wine of the vineyard, a tenant to tend his vines, to crush his grapes, and to pour his new vintage, to pour it out for all to drink. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.